As you find your place in John's Gospel, just like to say the fellowship that we're enjoying is of the utmost encouragement to my heart. And I just can't thank you enough for taking the time just to share the things that God is doing in your life and also share some of those insights that He's given you along the way. As I mentioned last night, the best insights of every meeting I've ever been at are right after I close in prayer, because then I get to get some of your input and the things that God has shown you. It's so important to share it, because if you don't, you might leave and be gone, and we'll miss out altogether on what God has given you. But if you tell me, believe me, I'm going to tell somebody else. That's the way we've learned everything along the way. That's what Paul said to do, isn't it? To entrust the things that he has taught us unto faithful men who will do the same thing. I don't always give credit where credit's due, but I have a feeling the things you share with me were things that someone shared with you. And so we're just passing them on, and I thank the Lord for it. I also have to make my disclaimer. There's nothing original that you'll ever hear with me. Nothing is original. In fact, there are things you've heard before. I'm just going to tell it to you again, because we've been given a ministry of reminding. Yes, we've heard these things before. The Apostle Peter said, I'm telling you the things you've heard before, and I'm not going to be negligent, but I'm going to put you in remembrance of these things. We're turning to John 12, to one of the most familiar passages in our Bible, and especially in the New Testament. It's going to give us our second supper, a supper of gratitude. And I know you've heard this passage before, but let's just play like we've never heard it, ever. And it's the first time we've ever heard it. I often pray. Brother Bramhall gave me the advice, pray for freshness. And in my prayer for freshness, I pray that the Lord will help me to teach it as if it's the first time I've ever read it and studied it. And then I also close my prayer, and Lord, help me to say it as if it's the last time I'll ever get to. And that's the kind of freshness we are praying for as we look at a wonderful portion of Scripture. John's Gospel, chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. I'm just going to read through verse 8. John 12, 1 says, Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Verse 3. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Then one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. Verse 7. Then Jesus said, Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always. John has been careful by the Spirit of God to give us detail, commentary, and insight into this amazing occasion of this supper of gratitude. Shall we ask the Lord to guide us so that we don't miss some of the things that are before us and so obvious. Our Father, as we bow in your presence this morning, we thank you with hearts full of gratitude for this supper that it expresses what many of us feel in our hearts. We pray, Lord, that we might, as it were, bow down low at your feet and offer up the gratitude of our heart for what you've done for us. We thank you for the example of Mary and for the care and protection of the Lord Jesus, and that all things were working according to your divine plan. And as we come to this time, Lord, how we pray that it might stir our hearts with a greater appreciation than we've ever had before of what you mean to us. We thank you for your word. Tune our hearts to understand it, to sing it, and to share it with others as we enjoy it together today, just like we were sitting down at a table together and enjoying each piece and each bite and each meal. Help us to swallow it down into our spirits and let it sink down deep into our souls that we might enjoy a continual feast throughout this day, we pray, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, we were talking about a supper of grace last night, and what a supper it was. And those that were called and invited to the supper of grace, they were unworthy because they would not come. Well, they had a place, but they refused it. And the Lord, when he was angry about it, when he closed that door, he opened up a greater door and invited us Gentiles to come in. You see how it starts to form the panorama of God's plan. Because those of his own people that would not receive him, to as many as would receive him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. Now that this door is open, we see the Gentiles coming in. What do we know about us Gentiles? Well, we know that we were unclean, just like a leper. We would be ringing the bell saying, unclean, unclean. We were distant, far from him. We know something else. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. That's why when we come to the supper of gratitude, we say, that's exactly what it is. It represents us. Let me point out to you where it was held. You don't have it in this portion of Scripture. We know it's in Bethany because of the people that were there. But it was not at Martha and Mary and Lazarus' home. It was at another home. Matthew's Gospel tells us it was held at Simon's house. Now, it's not Simon the Pharisee. Well, he had a mock dinner, didn't he? It was a mockery, but he learned a lesson. He wasn't there at Simon the Pharisee, even though sometimes this particular instance is confused with Simon the Pharisee's house, because a woman also came, anointed the Lord's feet with her tears, wiped them dry with her hair, and you see, oftentimes it's confused, but it wasn't Simon the Pharisee's house. It was the Simon the leper, his house. He was unclean. But now he's been made clean. We were unclean, but now we've been sanctified by the blood of Christ. Simon, at one time he was distant, but now he's been brought near to the Lord. We too, who were far off, have been made near by the blood of Christ. What was this supper all about? Well, you remember what John 11 was? It was when Lazarus had died, and the Lord Jesus, he went and raised him from the dead. Now, if you've been raised from the dead, what would you do? Well, you'd do what Jairus' daughter did. He said, give her something to eat. Well, they had a supper in honor of what the Lord had done, to honor and thank the Lord for his great work in raising Lazarus from the dead. And Lazarus, well, he was an honored guest at the table. But the Lord gets all the credit and gratitude, but there was Lazarus. Do you know that the Jews wanted to put Lazarus to death as well? Because he was raised from the dead. He didn't have a thing to do with it. But he was in trouble because of the company he was keeping. And here we come to this supper, and we say, just like Lazarus, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love with which he has loved us, he has raised us from the dead, just like Lazarus. But then, he has seated us with Christ in heavenly places, and in this heavenly banquet, you've got that picture before you too, don't you? There, at Simon the leper's house, unclean, made clean, distant, brought near, and Lazarus, dead, raised and seated right there with Christ in a heavenly place here on earth at this supper that is set before us. That's really the picture we've got. And what gratitude we owe to the Lord for what he's done for us. Now, in this picture, you've got not only Lazarus sitting at the table, the Lord being the one who is honored and thanked, but I'd like you to see something else. Verse 1 again tells us that it was 6 days before the Passover. Jesus came to Bethany. Bethany would have been his favorite place to go. In fact, he wouldn't sleep in Jerusalem, would he? Leading up to that particular Passover when he would be betrayed and crucified. He stayed at Bethany. And it explains to us it was where Lazarus, who had been raised from the dead, lived. But remember, Lazarus had two sisters. Verse 2 reminds us who they are. There they made him a supper. Who is they? Well, it was the ladies of the area. Specifically, Martha is mentioned. And what's she doing this time? Well, she's serving, just like she was before. The only difference here, as compared to before, is she had an attitude adjustment. Have you ever had one of those? Only every day. An attitude adjustment. Last time we saw Martha serving, she was complaining because Mary was sitting while she was serving. Those two ladies at two different locations, one's working on the food, the other sitting at his feet. And Martha says, Lord, tell her to help me. She's left me to serve alone. The Lord Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. I was reading a commentary on that not long ago. Worried about many things? Well, yeah, she had a lot of dishes on the stove. A lot of things going on. And he said, one thing is needful. Commentary I read said that the Lord was suggesting, rather than fix all these different dishes, she just should have one, like a casserole. I don't think that's what it was. The one thing that was needful was the thing that Mary had chosen. Does that mean we should have no Marthas serving? Perish the thought. I was telling you about Mike and Kathy and Amber last night, the newest family in the assembly, just been there a month. Last Sunday before coming up, just day before yesterday, we had a little dinner at the assembly, and Kathy said, I've got to know what I can bring. And we said, well, it looks like we've got plenty already signed up for. She said, I'm not coming unless I can bring something. I thought, here's a Martha. And do you know, before we could get her back home out of the building, she said, I'm not leaving till I mop the floor. I said, boy, thank the Lord he sent another Martha to us. We need more Marthas. We need more Marys. Here's the thing. With Martha in this particular situation in verse 2, Martha is serving, but after the attitude adjustment, she now has an attitude of gratitude, and things are put into place. She's not complaining anymore, but she's doing her work happy in the Lord. Let me ask you a question. How do you serve the Lord? Do you serve him with gladness? Now, this is just between me and you. I won't tell anybody else. But just between me and you, if we can't do what we're doing for the Lord with gladness and gratitude, what's the benefit of it? Now, I'm not saying stop doing it. Martha didn't stop serving. But what she did is she got her attitude right. And led by appreciation, her heart was drawn out to keep on serving, but to do it with a right attitude. Now, I have a feeling that most of you folks either are or you have been working hard in the local assembly at home. You know what it means when the floor is dirty, the garbage is full, it needs to be rolled out on Sunday night when all the other young people have long since gone out to eat after the meeting. And the toilet needs to be scrubbed. Now we are getting personal. And the paper towels are empty. We're talking of physical stuff. But doesn't the physical stuff count too? Well, it certainly does before the Lord. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily. Don't do it hardly. Do it heartily as unto the Lord, not unto men. Am I suggesting that the Lord is impressed when we replace the paper towels? Yes. He is, if we do it with a right heart and do it unto Him. Just as if we were bringing dishes to the table to offer the Lord to eat. When you fill up the towel rack, when you take out the garbage, if you do it unto Him, He's honored by it. Martha, she said, all I can do is cook. Well, bring it on, Martha, because the Lord is honored by it. So the things we do them with the right heart. They're going to get a reward in heaven, aren't they? Martha was serving. Thanks for bearing that little encouragement from someone like Martha. I'm glad the Lord never gives up on us. He said, Martha, you just need to get a few things right. Keep on cooking, but do it right. Now, when we come to this portion, starting in verse 3, we see the other sister, Mary. We've seen her before, Mary of Bethany. What a wonderful woman she was. We see her sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus, hearing His word. We see her falling at the feet of the Lord Jesus, being comforted at the death of her brother Lazarus. Sitting and falling. Now we see her the third time at the feet of the Lord Jesus, but this time she's bowing. That's a good plan, isn't it? We should be sitting at His feet daily, hearing His word. When we have times of anxiety and heartache, we can fall at His feet and find the comfort that we need. But there's also an important part here. She's bowing at His feet, offering up the worship that's due unto His name. And that's what we see in verse 3. Let's notice it again, please. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped His feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. You see, Mary's heart was full. Full to overflowing. There was a little girl that prayed once, Lord, fill my heart with Yourself. I can't hold much, but I can overflow a whole lot. You see, that was what was happening with Mary's heart. It was overflowing. It just had to come out. And so we see a heart that was full and even overflowing. It was full of gratitude because looking back, she had raised Lazarus from the dead. We've been talking about that. But now we see that she's looking ahead. And out of gratitude, from a heart that's full and overflowing, she wants to express her gratitude for what the Lord Jesus was going to do. Looking back and looking ahead, isn't that often shared at the Lord's Supper? There at the Lord's Supper, at a pivotal point in our time, we look back to what He's done for us, dying for us, that we might live in Him. But we also look ahead because in prospect, we're only going to do this till He come. I told a young man one time, as we were getting ready to go to the Lord's Supper, he was traveling with me a little bit. He was a young Timothy or Silas. It's important to have someone younger along the way that you can tell them what older men and women have told you. We were getting ready to leave for the Lord's Supper, and I said, Chris, I hope I never have to go to the Lord's Supper again. I just waited. I said, what do you think of that statement? He said, I'm trying to think through it right now. And he said, if you mean that when the Lord comes, you won't have the Lord's Supper again, I agree with you. I said, that's exactly what I mean. It's not a burden here on earth, is it? But it is a reminder of what He's done looking back, what He's going to do looking ahead. Really, Mary was experienced that same thing. She looked back and she said, I want to say thanks for what You've done. But she looked ahead, verses 7 and 8. The Lord makes it clear. He says, she hath kept this for the day of my burial. She was looking ahead to what was going to happen. Now, I'd like you to think about that for a little while, because the fact that she kept this for the day of His burial, Lazarus, her brother, her only brother that we know about, he just died previously. Why didn't she use it for Lazarus? It's not the kind of thing that people have laying around the house, you see. It's a very costly, fragrant oil of spikenard. The little bit that I've heard on this and read is that each family would have pretty much set in place spikenard or particular spices just for the burial of their loved ones. It's not like you have 17 bottles in your pantry. You don't buy it in bulk. It's worth a year's wages, Judas, the accountant, tells us later. When Lazarus died, I can't figure out why she didn't use it for him. Perhaps they had some other, I don't know. But she determined she was not going to use this particular bottle or alabaster box of spikenard. She was keeping this for something special. I believe that the Spirit of God has given us this little clue by that expression that she hath kept this for the day of my burial. Particularly keeping this particular bottle or box of ointment. She kept it for a reason. For the day of his burial? You mean Mary was the only one that would take care of anointing his body? Well, no, not the only one. But she wanted to make sure she didn't miss it. You know, I believe that Mary had insight that the disciples didn't have. I think some of those great men of insight missed it. I think a lot of us men miss it today. And I think a lot of you sisters have it when we don't. That's why though you don't speak at the meetings of the assembly, I sure am glad you can talk after the words and tell us what we're missing at home. Some of my best insights have come as I've been over to hear what an older sister in the Lord would tell me. Some have written things to us. And some of the most dearest things we'll ever read, poetically or personally, come from you sisters. Someone has expressed the worship meeting like this, saying, yes, the men offer it up audibly so that we all can hear it and be blessed and say our amens as our worship goes to the Lord. But what the sisters have, it stays in silence. It's as if God says, that's too precious to share openly. I'm going to keep that just for me. I believe it could be that way, don't you? A lot of times we think, well, those silent times in the Lord's Supper. Now, I don't think they should be too long, you understand. But those silent times. Wouldn't you like just to get a little taste of what God is hearing? When the men are quiet and the women's heart can really dwell as well as the men's hearts, things that aren't expressed with our lips, still emanating from our heart. I believe there's a preciousness there. And I believe that Mary had the understanding that the Lord Jesus was going to the cross and that he wasn't going to be in the tomb for very long. And after the tomb would come the resurrection. And if I'm going to show this kindness and gratitude, I better do it now. Because now is the only time we really have. Before this sounds like a gospel message, I want to remind our hearts, this is not a gospel message. This is a message to the believer. That the kindness we want to show to the Lord, we better do it now. We don't have the guarantee of tomorrow. This might be the last word I say. This might be the last time you hear. If there's an act of kindness that you're keeping up for a special day, go ahead and spill it out. Go ahead and say it. Go ahead and do it. And do it now. Mary, with her keen insight, she would not be cheated out of being able to do this for the Lord. And so before the Passover, she did it for him. A good friend told me that his aunt, as she was getting older, she used to say, Ray, you're going to send me flowers when I die, why don't you send them to me now so I can see them? You know, he used that in his life in a wonderful way to show kindness and to express appreciation right now. Don't put it off. I am so sorry to be this personal with you, but I bet there's a phone call you meant to make or a card you meant to send. Bookstore is going to be open in a little while. Pick that card up and write that note. I bet there's something you wanted to do that you thought, you know, when I get back from the conference, I can do that. Make a little note, whether in your mind or your heart, or if you're like me, make sure you don't forget it and write it down somewhere. Bering McDowell told me he had two memories. One is short and the other is written down. You write it down and put it in your Bible to where when you open your Bible when you get home, you're going to be reminded of what you meant to do and you're going to do it. I've got a few things on my list too. We're all the same. We're great putter offers. Mary wasn't that kind of woman. She said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it now. I wonder what the other ladies might have been thinking. Well, we've heard he's going to go and be crucified. Let's go ahead and get things ready, but we'll just save them. And they saved them. Salome, Mary, and the other Mary. And they went very early to the tomb. But even though you go so early, sometimes you're too late. And Mary of Bethany got to do what the other women didn't get to do because it was too late. It's a wonderful instruction, isn't it, that we need to hear again and again. Your mother might not be here to tell you. But the Lord is telling us, isn't he? And through the example of Mary, she had a heart that was so full that she would not be cheated. She said, I'm going to do it now. And she broke that alabaster box of fragrant oil. She anointed the Lord's feet with that fragrant oil. And then she took her hair and she wiped his feet. I believe it's Mark that tells us she anointed his head. And someone who says, huh, there it is, another contradiction. It's not a contradiction. It's just a different angle. I always tell young believers when they see these things the first time, that's not you, I know, but when they see these things the first time, one says his head, one says his feet, I said, isn't it great? She anointed his head and his feet. But it took two of them to tell us. Another might say his body, even as the Lord mentions. It was his feet, his head, his body, all anointed, prepared for burial. Now, she took her hair and she wiped his feet. She got that fragrant oil in her hair. Verse 3 tells us, in that very same verse, that the house was filled with the fragrant oil. So you have the Lord whose body has been anointed with this oil, and then you've got the hair of Mary that was anointed and also fragrant with that oil. The house is exuding all the way through. Her hands and everybody there had the fragrance. And they were the fragrance of Christ, the knowledge of him in every place. Judas would have smelled that fragrant oil. Now, I just think about this. And in verse 3, it tells us that it was a pound. It's pretty heavy stuff, isn't it? How much perfume do you buy for your wife? You know that French perfume? Do they sell it by the gallon? No. By the pound, of course. No. By the demi-ounce. Because it's so expensive. Here she comes with a whole pound. What excess. You think she went to an extreme? I should say. The expense? Well, we've got to go all the way to verse 5 to get the expense. We've got to ask the accountant, the treasurer of this little band of disciples, Judas Iscariot. He put a price on it, and he said, why wasn't it sold for 300 denarii, the normal year or annual wage for a laborer? 300 denarii. It's pretty expensive. The Spirit of God, he puts a different cost on it. He says, I'm not going to count this in denarii. And in verse 3, notice how he expresses it. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard. He wouldn't even put a price on it. You can't put a price on worship. The only thing you can say is like David did, I will not offer unto the Lord that which costs me nothing. It's got to have some value to it. But God esteems value very high compared to what we esteem it. We might count it out, but the God says it was very costly. It meant a lot to Mary, and it meant even more to the heart of God. Then, if you'll notice, that pound, that 300 denarii, let's do a little bit of figuring, if you don't mind, calculating. We've got to find out just how much this is worth. But it varies to whose heart it applies. 300 denarii to Judas, that's what it was worth. What's the Lord worth? To Mary, 300 denarii. To Judas, he said, oh, he's only worth a tenth of that. I'll take 30 pieces. Sold him out for a tenth of what Mary was using just for 1 hour. What's he worth to you? Well, Nicodemus, together with Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus came with some spices. Mary had used a whole pound of spikenard on that day, but Nicodemus, he came with 100 times that. Not spikenard, but various fragrances and spices to anoint the Lord's body for burial. I have to ask you again, what's he worth to you? Mary said he's worth a whole pound. Nicodemus said he's worth 100 times that. Mary said he's worth 300 pieces. Judas, he said he's worth just a tenth of that. And the effects of this anointing? Well, it filled the house and it went everywhere. And the essence, wherever they walked, they would have had that fragrance. I used to work at a machine shop. I operated lathes. We used oil. And when a blade goes to cut stainless steel or other metals, that oil just smokes and you can smell it everywhere. I used to get home and I'd smell like oil. One day, Nancy came by to see me on the way somewhere. She just put some perfume on. She walked right through the middle of that machine shop. And I'm always so glad to see her. And when she left, a little bit later, the boss came out the door. Didn't see her come and go. I could see him smelling the perfume compared to burning oil. Talk about a contrast. But it just stayed there. There are nostalgic smells in our lives that we come across all the time, some good, some bad. To those who knew him, it was a sweetness. To those who didn't, like Judas, it would have been a terrible reminder, wouldn't it? In fact, we have to move to Judas. We'd like to skip him altogether, but he was at that supper, and I don't want to give you indigestion at a supper. But this man's going to give us indigestion. He was a hypocrite, and he was furious about it. Verses 4 through 6 tell us, it says, then one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, there's another Simon, who would betray him, said, I want to mention to you that this is the very first recorded word of Judas Iscariot right here. It wasn't until the very end of the Lord's ministry, but the first thing he said, and I'll have to use another one of the Gospels to catch it. Why this waste? It could have been sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor. But Judas didn't really care about the poor. John gives us the commentary. He wasn't caring about the poor. He was a thief. He was a hypocrite. He was a wolf in sheep's clothing. There and among them came close enough to the Lord to kiss him and then turned away and betrayed him. Judas. You got Mary on one hand and Judas on the other. Mary, the wise man wrote, the name Mary, it's like an ointment poured forth. That's what a good name is. Mark tells us, the Lord speaking, that wherever the gospel is preached, what she did will be a memorial to her. And from Bethany, continuing to ripple through the centuries of time, we still fondly think of the name and the ointment that was poured forth that day. The wise man also said in the book of Proverbs that a bad name is like a rotten name. The one who is wicked, his name shall rot. Anybody name their son Judas? No, we even use that name in a very demeaning way. He's a Judas. He's a betrayer. He's a traitor. And Judas, what a name he had. Why this waste? It wasn't waste, was it? It was worship. I've got to remind you too, and I believe it is one of the other Gospels, Matthew tells us, wasn't just Judas that said it. All the disciples said the same thing. You mean Andrew said it? John said it? Simon, the other Simon, Peter said it? A lot of Simons in this. Simon says, and whatever Simon says, everybody says. Why this waste? Mary is the only one who didn't say it. And the Lord is the one who commended. What looked like waste to them actually was worship to him. It's good to remember this, isn't it, when we come together to express our gratitude to the Lord. You do it for the Lord. Don't waste your time. We're talking about working and cleaning and doing things in the building where the assembly gathers. I had a friend tell me just the other day, he says, you shouldn't be doing this. You should let somebody else do this. It was very tempting. Sometimes it is tempting, isn't it? But when you come back and you remember, what I'm doing for the Lord. It's not a waste of time. It's worship unto him. That was Judas' first words. Why this waste? You know what his last words were? I have betrayed innocent blood. Not much of a career, was it? But Mary never spoke a word, didn't preach a sermon, just did an act of worship. And its effects are still felt even today. I wonder how anyone could ever count a waste what was done as unto him. Through the prophet Jeremiah, in the book of Lamentations, speaking of the destruction of Israel and Jerusalem in particular, but picturing the Lord Jesus and what he suffered and sorrowed for us, he said, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see my sorrow with which the Lord hath afflicted me. And where is the heart so hardened? And who is so vile as he who beholdeth the Savior suffer and saith, it is nothing, it's just a waste to me. And may it not be that way. And when we gather together to express our appreciation to the Lord, don't ever think about it as a waste of time. You might even hear that from some who just don't know. Now, we don't want to tell them to go out and hang yourself, because the other disciples said the same thing. We need to be patient, help them to grow, and open our heart. And even if others say, boy, there they go again, worshiping, wasting their time, you just let the words of the Lord Jesus ring true. Let them alone. Let her alone. She hath done this for me, for the day of my burial. Any act of kindness or gratitude is never wasted. I know you've shown kindness to people that maybe you'll never see again. It's not wasted. The Lord's going to use it. And He will reward. But we need to come to the supper of gratitude. When our son was growing up, he got out of line. Got real smart one time, as teenagers often do. You know what the poster says? Quick, hire a teenager before, while they still know everything, before they get older and out of their teen years. So in all of his smart responses, I said, listen, you have a lot to be thankful for. You go to your room right now, and I want you to write a list of all the blessings and thanksgiving you should have. You know what? He did it. I forgot all about sending him to his room to do it. Came back later, he had 3 pages of things he was thankful for. That was in small handwriting, too. Now that he's a doctor, you can't read his handwriting, but it's okay. No, you can. And he wrote a list of all the things he's thankful for. I believe it made a difference in his life, but it made a bigger difference in my life. Have you ever taken the time just to add up and take account of all the things you're thankful for? The hymn writer said, count your many blessings. Name them one by one. The psalmist said, let me save you some time. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. And Paul says, let me tell you, it's better than that. We've been blessed with every or all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. In Christ? Well, yes. That's where we've been seated. With Christ, in heavenly places, we who were dead and unclean have been gathered together with Him and seated at a table, full of gratitude like Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. May we pour it out before Him and say thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift through this supper of gratitude. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank You with hearts overflowing out of gratitude for all that You have done for us. You've done more than we could ever count. And even if we took an accounting, we'd have to just conclude, as we were saying, it's all there. Every blessing we could ever imagine, above all and beyond all that we could ever even ask or think. You really have done exceedingly abundantly above it all. And yet, Father, so rarely do we take the time just to express our gratitude. Help us to do what Mary did, from a heart that's full, to break it open and pour out fragrance, knowing that even if we're criticized or condemned, we've done it unto You. We thank You that what the world sees as a waste, You receive it as worship. Help us to offer it up in its sweetness and fragrance. We thank You, Father, for all the blessings that we have and we're enjoying this week, in happy fellowship one with another, for we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.